are continuing our message series called This Is Us. And I want to read three brief stories to you from the New Testament and the church. The first reading is Matthew 28:16, and is known as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Our second reading is from Acts 9:32. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and she died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows, they stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and he prayed. And turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, and he helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. And our third reading this morning comes from Acts 11, verse 19 and through 30. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, your early church was inspired by their king ascending to the throne. He commissioned each of his followers to go and make more followers, to spread the good news of salvation and make people who follow your Son, Jesus. God, may we lean into that calling this morning. May we trust and know that you are sending us to go and make disciples, trusting that you have all authority, and we, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, that we can go and make disciples and teach others to obey and invite people to be baptized and give their life to Christ. Inspire and lead your church, Lord, in the ways that so much of the Spirit inspiring the acts of the early apostles in Scripture, Lord, as they spread the good news of Christ. As they faced many challenges, Lord, they also saw the truth and the love and the salvation in Christ. Lord, they cared for one another. They blessed and gave and loved. May this church, Lord, find our calling and our place, led by your Spirit, to bless and encourage and love those around us. God, lead your church and lead this time. As we hear stories of our past, may they inspire our future to be a faithful and loving church. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been doing a little bit of research of late, and I happened across the story of a Christian church in Vail, Oregon. Oregon, I've never known how to say it. Anyways, we'll move on and don't dwell on that, please. All right. So there is a couple. Their name were N.E. Taggart is all I have, and then I have Mrs. Taggart. That's all I have for names. So he went by Brother Taggart. This was the early 1900s, so they threw brother out there a lot. So Brother Taggart and N.E. Taggart, or N.E. Taggart and Mrs. Taggart. Anyways, the Taggarts, you get what I'm saying. Sorry, that was... You practice your sermons, you know, to get things out and make sure you do it correctly, and that was not it. So if we could have a do-over there, I would. But anyways, the Taggarts, they moved to Oregon in the early 1900s. They were looking for a Christian church there in which they could be a part of, and when they arrived there, there was no such church. There just wasn't one. So they met up with their neighbors, and they discussed their heart for having a Christian church. And what ended up happening was they started a Sunday school. I think in modern church planning circles, they would have said they started a small group. But for them, they started a Sunday school class, and it met with just a handful of people, maybe just a couple or a few. Some years later, maybe like 5 or 10 years later, they hosted a revival, and there were 13 people that came to belong, and that's when they really started forming the church, and momentum took off. Along the way, the Taggarts were instrumental in the church's growth, as they provided the parsonage for the minister. The Taggarts, any Brother Taggart, he would give so much of his time and resources. He was working in the field, and then when the church had enough supplies to start adding on to the church building, Mr. Taggart would stop his work, and he would come, and he would start building the church building as supplies came in. Mrs. Taggart, she was instrumental in starting a women's ministry. She saw a need amidst the poor and the people struggling in her Christian family. And so the women rallied together, and they cared for the needs of one another. She started the Women's Aid Society, and when I contacted the Vail Christian Church, the minister said the Women's Aid Society is still in existence today. Mr. and Mrs. Taggart used to live in Etna Green, Indiana, and they were a part of our church family. Over 100 years ago, Etna Green was sending and encouraging church planning ministry from our little town. And I contacted the minister, and man, oh, you should have seen the excitement on my face when I found out they still have a Dorcas Missionary Society. I was like, I thought we were the only ones. But Mrs. Taggart was instrumental, and she did that because she saw it here. She saw women who were in need and opportunities for women to serve together and bless and encourage. And he said they're still doing activities today to bless and encourage one another. It's incredible. I know. At least a few people, like, it's like, this is awesome. And Veiled Christian Church is still in existence today because a group of people said there needs to be a church, and they came from Etna Green. What sent them that way, I don't know. I couldn't figure all of that out. But it's an incredible story. Much more recently, a couple of ministers before me. The minister before me was Ed Barrett, and the minister before him was Steve Hinton. Steve felt a calling to go to California and to plant a church. I keep getting a call, I feel, to plant a church in Hawaii, but the funds haven't come. But Steve, you know, we blessed and we helped and we continually sent support to Steve as when he was in California. He's not there any longer, to help start and plant a church in California. That was in the last 20 years. We supported him when I was first here and for several years into that. We have, when you walk into our building, I want to talk about more pictures. We're not going to talk about those ones. But when you walk in and you come up the stairs, you will see a picture of several people. They don't all look that way anymore. Some of them are quite a bit older, but there's a couple of Neihart boys up there, and there's a lot of Walter kids, and Scott and Carmen LaRue. That is called our Timothy, our Wall of Timothys, or we don't really have a name for it, but that's our Timothys. And that is young men and women who have been brought up in our church who have gone into ministry. And those pictures, I believe, are a testimony of what it means to raise up a next generation of kids to love and serve Christ in his church and world. Scott and Carmen LaRue. Carmen is the daughter of Dick and Janet Stouter. And when she graduated, she went to Cincinnati Bible College, and she met her husband, Scott, and they started a ministry in Russia to plant churches. And they are still serving in a similar capacity, though they live stateside in Fort Wayne today. Scott is working alongside church planters that are planting churches in Canada, in Europe, and in Russia still today. We have on our wall, we have Brian Walter. Brian Walter is the son of Mike and Diane Walter. He went to Great Lakes Christian College, the best of Christian colleges in our brotherhood, and he met his wife Lisa, and when they graduated, he went right to ministry as a youth minister and worship minister, and now the senior minister at the South Milford Church of Christ just down the road. They've been faithfully serving the Lord. Mark Walter, he is the son of Rich and Sandy Walter. In a strange way, was instrumental in my being here. Mark and I were contemporaries in class. We were seniors. We were in our senior, it's your exit class. I forget what they called it. And I was interviewing, and he said, you would do a great job in Etna Green. And I think he was right. I mean, he was right on the money. But he was a part of my coming here. He said, they're good folks, and you'll enjoy it. And but Mark, he was at Stroh Church of Christ, also in Indiana, for quite some time as a youth minister. And now over the last couple of years, he's been in ministry at the Wausau Church of Christ in Michigan, serving. We have also on our wall, among others, Shane Hargrave, also the son of Mike and Diane Walter. And he's the minister at the Heritage Christian Church in Georgia. These men and Carmen were children in our church one time. And they sat through Sunday school class, and they sat through plenty of sermons along the way. But they spent time with many of the folks that are scattered around our building. And God called them and led them and challenged them through the sermons, through the prayers, through the encouragement of the saints and believers in our church to go and serve and be a part of ministry in churches. There is no way that we can take an assessment of how God has used a small church in the middle of an unknown place. You know, you tell people where you're from. I'm from Etna Green. And they look at you funny, and they wonder if it's from another country. You may not find us on a map, but in God's kingdom, you cannot fathom the goodness that God has done the impact that God has done through a small seed to change the world and bring lives to Christ. We may sit in this small place, in this small neck of the world, and we think we live insignificant lives. Well, the world's judgment on you is wrong. And God's approval is shining down as we pray for and we love and we minister and we come alongside the story of Scripture. The story of Jesus telling his disciples to go and make more disciples. Friends, we're a church in the disciple-making business, calling everyone to come and believe in Christ and give their life to him and learn every day what it means to give your life to him and deny yourself and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, to listen and obey to his commands. Friends, you are a part of a church. If I could paint a picture of what the New Testament church is, it's one that is led by the Spirit. We see Jesus in the book of Acts at the very beginning. He says that my Spirit's going to descend and then something's going to take off. You guys will, the church. You will receive power, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he says, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. And he says, you will be my witnesses to the very ends of the earth. This is the story for which we are part of. This is the New Testament church, a church that's on the move, inspired by the Spirit, sending and discipling and sharing the good news of hope and salvation in Christ. The picture of the church on the move in Antioch. They caught wind that there were brothers and sisters in need, and so they took a sacrificial offering and they sent it on to brothers and sisters because there was something going on in the world that there was a need and someone needed to care for and love and help and encourage one another. We see the Dorcas Missionary Society take up the mantle from 150 years ago, still pressing forward in our church, of a group of people who care for and minister to the needs, not only locally but missionally. No one can tell the impact of what a missionary society has meant to our church family and to the wider world over the last 150 years. And so when I look at the picture of a New Testament church, I see a church that's led by the Spirit and trusts in him. I see a church that shares the good news of Christ and salvation for all. I see a church that cares for and meets the needs of the body. When one part hurts, we hurt together and we mourn together. When one part celebrates, we celebrate together. We look to one another and we say, we see a need and we help. And the love of this church overflows into its community. It has a missional heart for sending and planting across all cultures and all people groups. It raises up fully committed followers of Jesus. We don't diminish the call of Christ. We don't make it simple in its task. We tell you all that there is, that you will have to deny yourself and love Jesus more than yourself. But we stay faithful to the will of God. The church here in Etna Green has been for over 150 years sending out disciples to plant and minister to churches the world over. We've raised our children to love the Lord and to be willing to become missionaries or ministers of the gospel. Our Timothy wall, when you walk in the doors, is a testimony of raising up children to love and serve the Lord in the church and world. God has used us, and I believe he is continuing to use the faithfulness of Etna Green to make disciples and to minister to churches the world over. So when I picture the beauty of the New Testament church, I see the makings of it right here among us and how we would treat one another and live our lives together. And I have a few challenging questions for you today. Are we continuing to press forward in our ministry to children and raising them up to be disciples of Jesus? I believe that it's our heart in our children's programming. It's in our heart on Wednesday Kids Night to reach kids who may not ever hear about Jesus if it's not for us. I believe that it is our heart and our intent to raise up disciples of Jesus. But it's not just a program on Wednesday night. It is the attitude and heart of all of us in this room together saying, let's raise up children to love the Lord. Are we praying collectively for workers in the harvest field? Jesus tells us that the work is plentiful and the workers are few. There's a lot of work. Are we praying for harvesters? Are we praying and preparing our children to be the next Timothys that plant the next church, that are the ministers to the next generation? Do we believe that our kid could be one of those kids? Our grandchild, the new person who walks into the door. Do we believe in the next generation? Do we believe that the next generation will need disciples? Do we believe that the next generation is going to need ministers? Do we believe that the next generation is going to need people who will stand up for the truth of Jesus Christ? What are we doing to prepare for tomorrow? Are we intent on listening to the Spirit and allowing it to lead us forward? Are we stuck in our routine, that we aren't thinking about what it might mean for each of us to listen to the Spirit and trust in His following and leadership in our lives? The picture that we are shaping up to be is a Spirit-led, faithful church of Jesus Christ. We belong to a long storied history of raising up and sending disciples. This is a tradition in which I hope we never quit, and we find renewed hope and strength to say, we will raise up a generation of believers to go and be faithful to Jesus Christ. Do you believe there is a future for our children to be faithful in, to love the Lord despite what the world says? We have a task before us, a high challenge. Are we willing to pray for our kids and lead them, that they might become ministers of the gospel of Christ? Let's pray for this generation to impact the next, for the next generation of Taggarts to travel across the country to plant another church, to raise up another disciple in our church family, to go and wherever their job takes them, to find themselves maybe needing to start a women's ministry that uses their gifts and talents to bless and encourage others. There is no telling the impact that you can make through being long and steady and faithful in one direction. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and I thank you for the gift of children, Lord, that we have been blessed with, I believe, an abundance of. And Lord, these challenges, may they not simply be empty words from me, but a challenge on my own heart to encourage and raise up children here, Lord, that love you, that will be faithful. Lord, if we run out of room on our Timothy wall, we pray that we would have, we would make a bigger wall. Lord, that we would continue to see the future, a life with you, and the need, Lord, for a faithful group of people to continue to press forward in sharing the good news. Lord, not simply living in our past and the victories that we have had, but anticipating and praying for new victories in the name of Christ, that lives would be won, that hope would be shared, and that all glory would be given to you. And so, Lord, these challenges, may they bring conviction and action. May they bring inspiration, and let the Spirit lead your church, lead your the leaders here, and lead us all. God, that we would be a faithful flock unto you. God, may we press forward in this quiet and unknown place, planting the seeds of hope and victory and love. And may we find today, Lord, salvation in your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?